John chapter number 3 in your Bible. And all of us know this. We're going to read John chapter number 3, verse number 16. Now, differently than LaRue family, I'm not going to read it in any other language for you, you know? That was beautiful. We all know of, and we probably know even by memory. Maybe you don't even remember when the first time you heard John chapter 3, verse number 16. What a powerful verse this is. It's kind of like the acorn of the gospel. In other words, within something so tiny can come a tree that's so enormous, right? And that gives that shelter to the animals, and it gives maybe that wood for the fire or for the building, or gives that fruit. What a wonderful thing. Well, right here in this little bitty verse, we're going to find exactly what God has for us. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, we all know this. So how about we all read it out loud, all right? John chapter 3, let's all read it together, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a beautiful verse, isn't it? There's so many wonderful things. And so let's get a pen. Let's kind of dissect this one verse here, this acorn, that exactly what the world needs to know so that you and I, we have it right here in front of us. Now, we could say that this is what people need to know. This is what you and I must not forget. And it's all written in this one. Years ago, we have two of our missionaries. Their last names are Blooms. One's up in New York City. He was in China and starting to work there. And he ran out of China, and he went over to New York City, started an English church, and he started a Chinese church, just doing a fabulous job. God's using them there. And then his brother is actually in Ecuador and started his first church. And boy, really growing. The Lord's using them. Both of those brothers, let me tell you how their dad got saved. Their dad is from upper state New York. And their dad was watching a football game. And he said he was watching this football game, and behind the goalpost lines, there was a guy standing up with a big cardboard, and he had John 3:16 written there. It said John 3:16. And this man named Donald Bloom, he looked down and he said, what in the world does that even mean? Well, he was watching the whole game, and after the game, according to his testimony, after the game, he looked it up. He thought, I don't know what these guys, why are they always holding this up? And so he looked it up, and when he looked it up, he got saved. And now at least two of his boys, they're missionaries, serving the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing, huh? There's a lot of power in that one verse right there. So grab a pen. Let's kind of dissect this, and let's find out what the world needs to know, the gospel right here, little acorn right here, John chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says this, for God so loved the world. Would you underline that word, those words right there? For God so loved the world. Now, let's dissect this. Very first thing that the world must learn, the world must know, that you and I must not forget, number one, is a loving Father. God so loved the world. You know, whether you had a good example of a dad at home or not a good example, let me tell you, there is a perfect Father up there. Amen? And you know what? All around the world, we served as missionaries in Argentina. And sadly, many times I would preach, there would be young girls of 8, 9, 10, and 11-year-old girls. Many times they were abused by uncles and even dads in just horrible situations. And you know what? They didn't have a dad present. In fact, I've read several different books on raising kids, and they say if there's no dad present in their lives, there is much more probability, way higher chance, that they're going to get into drugs and all these, you know, start naming all these different things. If a dad's present in their lives, and you know, we live in a world today that is very popular that dads are not present. But let me tell you about a dad, a father who is always present. The Abba Father, right? The one who truly loves. His name, he's the Comforter. In fact, the Bible says one of his names, not just the Comforter, but he's the Prince of Peace. We live in a world of just chaos, don't we? I mean, there's all kinds of things that running around that we hear, but thank the Lord, there's a God of peace. In Isaiah chapter number 49, when the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to Israel, our Father is speaking to Israel, and he says this, would a mother leave her suckling child? And you and I say, boy, a little bitty baby that still needs mama, nursing a mama. No, absolutely no way. And this is what the Bible says. Would a mother leave her suckling child and said, yay, yet I will never leave thee. What a wonderful thing it is that we have a loving Father. In this world out there, dear friends, boy, I mean, there's just so many beliefs and so many things out there, but what we can tell them, and what you say, I don't know all the Bible verses. You don't need to know all the Bible verses. You need to know what He did in your life. He saved you. What a wonderful thing. We have a perfect Father. We have a wonderful God. He's great. In fact, the Bible said there's two fathers. John chapter 1, verse number 12, when we believe on Him, we become children of God. We are now His children. He is our Father. But John chapter number 8, verse number 44, says that ye are of your father, the devil. You know, there's only two fathers. Some people say, well, I'm in the middle. There's absolutely no middle, dear friend. But let me tell you, as you and I go out, whether it's to these streets right here or around the world, what they must know is about a loving Father. Well, we know that. That's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, right? Romans chapter 8, verse number 38 and verse number 39. Neither death nor life nor angel nor principality nor any other thing can separate us from the love of God. We have a loving Father, don't we? We know that very well, but I want you to continue in that verse right there. And look what the Bible says here. John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Look at this next part. Whosoever believeth in Him, these next three words, look what it says here, should not perish. Now, not only do we have a loving Father, but we also must remember to tell them about a lake of fire. The Bible says that if they do not know our Savior, right there, you're in the book of John, and John chapter 3, look at verse number 3, would you? The Bible says this, Jesus answered, and He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except, there's the clause, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, dear friend, there's the good news. We have a loving Father. Praise the Lord. But then there's the other news as well. There's a lake of fire. In fact, in John chapter 3, verse number 18, look at it. We're in the same passage, verse number 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Look at this. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know what the Bible says? That there are people, as you walk down the road, it's almost like they've got written and stamped on their forehead, condemned already. They're going to a place called hell. Now, I remember when I was a younger, when I just got saved, boy, it seemed like my pastor was always preaching on hell. He wasn't, but that's what it seemed like to me as a young Christian. And it's almost kind of, you know, become that it's not so faddish to preach on hell anymore. And you know what, let's be quite honest, I would like to skirt around it because it's not very good news. But listen, dear friend, they must know the bad news so they can accept the good news. There truly is a lake of fire. Even if you say, I don't know if I believe, it doesn't matter what you believe. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, it's true what He says no matter if you believe it or not. You know, God speaks more about hell than He speaks about heaven. You know why? Because He doesn't want anybody to go there. There truly is a place called hell. And according to Luke chapter 16, by the way, Luke chapter 16 is not a parable. It's not an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is a real true story with real names. Lazarus and the rich man. And you remember it. I mean, go on there and we could write all these, I mean, note all these different things as you run through Luke chapter 16. The man, he has it all, and all of a sudden, isn't it amazing? Now this man who's in hell, he now believes and he says, send Abraham to my brethren so they don't come here. Isn't it amazing how he believed more in hell than anybody else at that time, now that he was there? But the Bible says it's a place of fire and where the worm dieth not and quench. You can't go back over. Once you go to hell, there's no return, dear friend. You know that very well. I remember I was 15, almost about to turn 16. I was in my church growing up, and I grew up. Mom and Dad took me to church. Praise the Lord. A Baptist pastor started a church right outside of the projects in Kansas City, Missouri, where my mom and dad lived, and kind of a rougher area, and some government housing. And this pastor, he planted a church right there. It was a little bit rougher area, and so a lot of times it would be kind of a harbor for maybe people who weren't doing so well, you know, and maybe doing some drugs or running from the law or whatever it was. And so they would run in this area, and kind of a lot of people ignored it, but that pastor started a Baptist church right outside, and he would go inside there, and he would start witnessing to people. And praise the Lord, he got a hold of mom and dad right before I was born, and both of them got saved. And you know, God began to work. You know, although I grew up going to church, and praise the Lord for it, for the chances and the opportunity, for many years I didn't get saved. I remember I was 15 and my pastor had a tent revival. And so it was this meeting, it was during the fall season, and he set up a big old tent out in the parking lot. Now, as a teenager, I thought this is the coolest thing in the world because I can go to church outside, you know? I don't have to go inside. This is just going to be cool. And I remember walking in there. My pastor, he called this guy, and this guy came, and he was an evangelist at the time. I believe now he's with the Lord, but he would get up there, and I remember sitting at the back, and I had my big coat on. It was about fall time, and I thought, you know, just hurry up. I don't even want to be here. I'm only here because Mom and Dad made me. And you know what? I remember get up, and my pastor said, he's going to come. And that man, he walked up there. He got on the steps. And I remember the first thing that I thought, as he walked up on the platform, I thought, that guy had the coolest boots on I've ever seen in my life. I mean, this guy had a different pair of cowboy. One day, it would be like these white skin cowboy boots. Another day, it was like rattlesnake skin cowboy, and then python and alligator skin. And I thought, you know, I hope this revival goes on forever. I want to see how many boots this guy really has, you know? I mean, this guy, every day, and I thought, you got to be kidding. So as a 15-year-old, I'm sitting in the back. I'm thinking, just hurry up. I don't even care to be here. And all of a sudden, he got up here, and I kind of set up. I'm like, look at those boots. You are the man. You know, like, those are really cool. Well, the other thing that totally got my attention, as this guy would get up there, every three or four words, at least to me, it seemed like every three or four words, the guy licked his lips. And he had this real deep voice, like, in the Bible, God teaches all of that we should love. And he kept, and I have OCD. I'm like, somebody give the man chopstick, you know? He's killing me. He's like, stop licking your lips. But not only did he lick his lips, he had this abnormally long tongue. I mean, this guy should have been like a Marvel character, you know? Like, I mean, he just kept licking. He could have combed his hair. Whoop, you know? Like, I'm like, this guy is weird, man. Where in the world did this guy come from? It was the craziest thing. You know, I kept imagining in my mind, like, I hope a fly goes by. I want to see if he can whoop, whoop. You know, like, this is just crazy, dude. Anybody else seeing what I'm seeing? And this guy gets up there, and he's preaching. And God used all these things to get my attention. And then out of nowhere, this guy starts preaching. And it's almost like the lights went out, and the spotlight was on me. And everything that guy said, it was like the Holy Spirit was pounding me. That guy didn't know me, but the Holy Spirit was pounding me. He said, you're not going to heaven just because your mom and daddy come to this church. You're not going to go to heaven because you think you're a good kid and you were raised right here. I thought, Lord have mercy, just back off, buddy. He said, you're not going to go. This isn't a decision that your family can make and the church can make. It's a decision you must make. He said, hell wasn't made for man. Hell was made for the devil and for his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. He said, it's not made for man, and God doesn't want to go you to go there, but you must trust in Jesus. Everything he said, it was right for me. I remember coming to the very end of the service, and we got to the invitation time, and everybody was standing up. He said, let's sing the song and come to the end. Why don't you come and get saved? Man, I was standing at the back. I thought, I don't want to. My buddies think I'm saved. I grew up right here. And by default, they, you know, going to think that this kid grew up here, he automatically must be saved or something. And so all my pride was swelling up, silly things that the devil convinces you of. And so I remember we finished that service and went home. I just jumped in the car. I thought, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. We got home. As we got home, I remember I walked up the hill and right into the house. We grew up in a trailer in the woods, and I walked down the only little aisle that we had there, the only little hallway that we had there. And I walked down the hall, and I remember I just started crying. My mom looked at me, and she said, son, what's the matter with you? I said, well, Mom, I'm afraid. Now, I wasn't supposed to be 15 and be afraid, right? I mean, I'm not supposed to be a scaredy cat. I was actually a scaredy cat. I hated the dark, and I hated the closet and everything else. You know, I wasn't supposed to be a scaredy cat, but I was afraid. My mom said, what are you afraid about? And I said, Mom, if what that guy said is true, I'm on my way to hell. My mom said, buddy, why don't you come in here? Now, remember, my mom opened the Bible to Romans chapter 3. She said, look what the Bible says, all is sin. I said, you don't have to say anything. I already know that. Okay, well, look what the Bible says here, that he loves everyone. Look at Romans chapter 6, and it says the wages or your salary or what you deserve, the wages of sin, it's death, that separation from God, that Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14, the second death, just as you need a second birth, you were born this way, but now you need a spiritual birth to go to heaven. You'll also have a second death, that you'll die in this world, but you'll have a second death, which is separation from God. That's what you deserve. But look what it says right here in Romans chapter number 10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus. And I remember right there, boy, God just began. And I prayed right there. I got saved and God changed my life. Everything was different. And I no longer was on my way to a place called hell. Do you know, dear friend, although there's a loving Father, there's still a lake of fire. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, dear friend, you're on your way. Not because bad people go to hell and good people go to heaven. No, dear friend, not it's the Hitlers go to hell and the good people, the Mother Teresa's go to heaven. That's not how it works. Those who trust Jesus Christ go to heaven. Those who reject Jesus Christ go in their own way. They go to hell. Can I tell you where my brother LaRue's going? And can I tell you where the Pridgens are going? Can I tell you where I was? And everywhere around the world, do you know there's plenty of religion to go around for absolutely everybody? Nobody lacks religion. But a religion doesn't take anybody to heaven. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus says. There's one name under heaven given amongst men, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, whereby ye must be saved. There's only one way, dear friend. They say, well, there's many ways to Rome. There might be many ways to Rome and even to home, but there's only one way to heaven, dear friend. There's a lake of fire, and if you reject the free gift of salvation, you're on your way. Don't forget to tell them about a loving Father, but please, dear friend, don't forget to tell them about a lake of fire. But praise the Lord, God doesn't stop there. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world, the loving Father, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, they should not perish, a lake of fire. But look what it says here. But have everlasting life. Not only must we remember to tell them about a loving Father and a lake of fire, the very last one here is a living future. Oh, dear, praise the Lord, dear friend, that they can know that there's a living future. It's not all gloom and doom. There's hard times. We know all about it. But listen, dear friend, the end is not the end. If you're a child of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we can also see in Philippians chapter 1 that our last breath here is our first breath there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as a child of God, I'm on my way to heaven, not because I deserve it, but because I accepted the free gift of salvation. There's a living future. I've seen people gloriously saved overseas, and what a beautiful thing. And people that were once stooped in all this nasty religion and all these wicked vices and all these wicked things, they're now serving Jesus. They have a living future. There's a purpose for their life. There's hope for their life. They don't have to do these drugs and get these fake sensations. They now have a purpose in their life. They're on their way to heaven because there's a living future. Praise the Lord, there's a living future, dear friend. And you know what the Bible says? Many people, in fact, when we were out today on the road, somebody said, Brother Roy and I were out, and the lady said, only God knows that, where I'm going to go when I die. No, dear friend, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written to you that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that life is in his Son. You don't have to until the end. You don't have to hope. It's put in a balance. No, dear friend, you can know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have a living home in heaven, a future worth living for. What a wonderful thing that our God is giving us a living future. Listen, dear friend, and you and I, you know, we say, you and I speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we should, but much of the world has never heard of the first coming of Jesus Christ. The gospel's good news. Is it good news if it doesn't arrive on time? My dear brothers, going in all these different people groups that are over there in South Africa, let's send him on his way. Let's pray for him. Let's help him. Let's get him there, dear friend. While those people, they must know about a loving Father. They must know about a lake of fire, but they must know there is a living future. They can have that hope. And my brother can tell them, and they can receive Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Just as you and I, dear friend, it doesn't matter the language they speak. They can trust our Savior. They must know about a living future, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a home in heaven, a mansion upon the hilltops, as we sing about, right? What a wonderful thing it is. World's full of religion, but they need Jesus Christ. Oh, all throughout the Word of God, dear friend, you know, over and over, we have something worth living for. We have a hope. We have a wonderful, blessed thing. They say that 80% of the world has heard about Coca-Cola. Yeah, I was in Argentina. I remember I went up to the northern city called Salta, and specifically in this area, I went to a city called Manantial, and it was way up in the north, and I went up there. We got from the Saravia, we got the city where we landed. We took this bus and we went to Saravia. And from Saravia, we had to take a tractor and a truck to get from Saravia all the way inside to Manantial. And we went into Manantial, and I mean, there's nothing there, man. I mean, absolutely nothing. They would, that's where I preached. They had this big old youth revival, and all the kids came from different places. An hour inside the bush or whatever you want to call it, an hour inside there, there was nothing but a generator. And buddy, I mean, when the church service was on, they flipped that thing on, and it was lit up. And buddy, when it went out, and they said, all right, you got 10 minutes, we'll turn the generator off. When they flipped that off, there was, you couldn't see nothing, man. I mean, the stars in heaven, that's all you could see. It was crazy. And I remember being up there, and we were walking around, and there was a lady at the entrance right there. There was nothing more than a building. We had some dorms there, and there was no electricity. There was nothing. And there was a lady with a little bitty card table, like a little 2x2 table. And she was sitting there in the middle of the desert with no electricity, no one around, and she was selling Coca-Cola. I thought, how in the world did a Coca-Cola get here? You know, like, what in the world? They say much of the world has heard of Coca-Cola. Many have seen Coca-Cola. And much of the world has even tasted Coca-Cola. Yet only 10% of the world has heard the name Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, they must know about a living future. You see, his last words to get the gospel around the world, his last words should be our first concern. That's our job. We're the seed house as the church. We're the seed house to get the seed out so that they can know about a living future. When I was a young person, I went public school, Christian school, back and forth, and finally graduated from a Christian school. I actually went to a Christian school when I was in fourth grade, and I flunked, and so I went to a public school, and I flunked, and you'd think that the Christian school would help me out, you know, and then I flunked in another Christian school. Three times, it's a charm, baby, they let me move on, you know. I probably thought, this kid's growing facial hair in fourth grade, let him on, you know, like, man, this guy can't make it, you know, I mean, give him a chance, you know, and finally, I made it. I found out, you better learn the first time, you know. But anyway, I remember when I was there, and when I finally went back to a Christian school in high school, and I remember we'd have chapel services. My pastor, he would invite different preachers to preach, and boy, God got a hold of my heart. We'd sing every time. We'd start off the services with a chorus. And I remember one of those choruses, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. One day he's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful is love to me." You know what the world needs to know? It's right here in one little verse. They need to know about a loving father. Oh, dear friend, don't forget to tell them about a loving father, but don't forget to tell them about a lake of fire. And oh, dear friend, what wonderful news that we have. We could tell them about a living future. There's a God who wants to save them and take them home with him. What a wonderful thing. You know, God only had one son, and he made him a missionary. This idea about getting the gospel around the world, it's not a new idea. It was on his heart before it was ever an idea in our heart. It was written from the very beginning. You know where missions begins? From cover to cover, baby. I mean, he wants it everywhere. That's our God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, we love you and we thank you. Oh, Lord, the world must know. And we're the agents that you want to use to get the gospel out. We're your ambassadors and we're your soldiers. We're your light and we're your salt. We're your witnesses. We're your instruments.